This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from the new media production studio designed by Audimute.com in Coldwater, Michigan. The lead stories are: a landlord throws out $58 million in Bitcoin. And you'll never guess what CEO thinks tech companies have too much power. How about a robot that could change all four car tires in 10 minutes? And will 96% of us be replaced by artificial intelligence? I want to welcome you to episode 1426 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, February 24th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. We are live again at geeknewscentral.com/live, live.geeknewscentral.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, just about everywhere you want to watch the show. And we want to welcome everyone that's watching live. And if you're live, make sure you say hello, check in. Definitely want to hear from you. But I want to welcome all of our brand new listeners to the show. Thanks for being here. I know that we've picked up a few from my time down in Houston. So those of you down there in Houston that's picking up the show, thank you so very much. And if you are a new listener, what we want to do, and if you haven't done so already, get over to geeknewscentral.com when you're on the website. We want you to get signed up, really, to subscribe to the show. And that way, you'll never miss a single episode of the podcast. You find the selections there via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, and subscribe on Android, Stitcher, either by email, RSS feed, or if you have no idea, absolutely no idea what I'm talking about, we can help you get subscribed to the show just by clicking on more subscribe options. While you're on the website, we want you to make sure you get signed up for our newsletter as well. So all you got to do is get over there and get signed up for the newsletter. It's right on the link on the webpage. I'm noticing something. Those of you listening, you don't care, but for the rest of you, I am out of focus. I think that's better. Yeah, it looks better. It's looking a little blurry. I looked up there at the screen. I'm like, oh, that doesn't look good. So anyway, worldwide. Hey, you can listen to this show on blueberry.com. You can listen on your smart home device by saying the magic word to launch that device and say the word, play the podcast, Geek News Central. Of course, you can join our chat room at geeknews.chat or on Slack. We also have a Discord channel as well. All you got to do to join that Slack channel is send me an email to geeknews@gmail.com, or you can just follow me on Twitter and do a request there as well, at Geek News. And most important part here, follow me on Facebook if you aren't already. Hey, partner shows are all linked to geeknewscentral.com. It includes GNC Week in Review done by our one and only executive producer here of this show, Kirk Corliss. The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, the ProGear site written by my team. The New Media Show, co-hosted by myself and Mr. Rob Greenlee, and of course, the now pod-faded podcast legends. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. And of course, this show does have the longest running continuous sponsor for podcasts, and that's our good friends at GoDaddy.com. And really, you can have amazing savings by using my promo codes at GoDaddy. And I tell you, we're getting close to the end of the month. I don't know exactly where we are in the numbers, but if you haven't picked up a GoDaddy product or service and you're a new listener here, we want to make sure you do. You can get 30% off new product purchases. You can get a $4.99.com. Of course, you can get $1 a month economy hosting for the first year with a free domain. You can get $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain as well as a free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans. All these codes can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. All of them are there. All you got to do is click to lock in the savings or copy the code and use it at checkout. Don't forget to use that 30% code when you're just picking up normal products and services over there. It's a great way to save money. Please do that. We want you to support our sponsor. As you may or may not know, really what happens here. All these GoDaddy codes are not expiring. And there's a statement on the page why you should support, why you should use this. And it's really, really simple. Your support keeps this show online, keeps my independent writing team employed. You're supporting a small team of independent content creators. By using one of the promo codes, you support us in that effort. And again, thank you for your support. Share those codes with your friends, your family. Subscribe to the podcast and get all the latest tech news. Come over to the website. And GoDaddy has helped tens of thousands of our listeners save tens and hundreds and probably at this point millions of dollars over the course of this sponsorship and receive significant savings using these promo codes. They're the best value available. Plus, again, you're helping out the team here. And keep the lights paid. And I got my insurance bill for 2020. You know how much it costs to insure this building? $1,800. Ouch. That's my insurance for a year. Fire, theft, and all that stuff. So not cheap for commercial insurance, but I got a good agent. Hey, but anyway, use those codes, geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. Hey, Mark. Hi, Mom. If you're on watching the stream, thanks for checking in and saying hello. Mark, I'll probably see you a week from Thursday down in Orlando. And tonight is a Red Bull night. My butt's dragging. It's ping pong. And let me catch you up what happened here. So Thursday morning, drove into Detroit, got on a plane, flew to Houston, checked in the hotel, no rooms available, waited a couple hours for that, got my room, turned around, had a client meeting that evening. Friday morning, the Spark Christian Podcast Conference started. It was an amazing event, 2 days, Friday and Saturday. Answered lots of questions, lots of women at the event, lots of diversity, lots of great ideas for stories, for shows. It really, really was a great event. And the team that put that on down there, first event, they did a stellar job. Spoke on Saturday. That went well. It was a great event. Had a couple of meetings in addition to the show. Then Sunday morning, bright and early, 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm out the hotel door. Got over to Houston International, got checked in. That airport, I haven't used that airport too much. Airport is like, feels old to me. It really, really does. It's got modern conveniences, but it just has that old feeling. And I was flying out of Terminal C, B, I don't remember, Terminal C, I guess. Had to check in Terminal D, backtrack to Terminal C. Anyway, flew out of there, got back into Detroit about 11:30 in the morning. Got the car, got picked up, got back here to the house, and basically just kind of catch up. You know, washing clothes, getting everything turned and burned. Because what I have to do is tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. I'm headed south to Columbus, and I had to. Plus, this is my schedule. So I go down to Columbus Tuesday through Friday. Saturday morning, I fly to Tampa. I go see my granddaughter. I haven't seen my daughter, my granddaughter, and my son-in-law since December of last year. So, yeah, December of last year. Was that even right? Anyway, I haven't seen my granddaughter in more than 12 months. So go down and see her. So Saturday, Sunday, hang out with them. Monday, Tuesday, I'm going to be working from my daughter's house. Then Wednesday, I drive over to Orlando. Then we have PodFest starts on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. There's events on Thursday. Then Sunday afternoon, very, very late in the afternoon, I fly back to Columbus, and then I'll be in the office Monday. I'll probably back here Thursday night to do the next, a week from to 2 weeks from today to do the show. I'm all screwed up. It's anyway, 3 weeks from today, something like that. But anyway, I'll be all the shows from here on out. So next, there'll be a show in Columbus on Thursday. And then Monday, a show from Orlando. There'll be no show the following Thursday, March 5th. And then I'll be in Columbus for one show, back here. And then I do a quick turnaround, and I'm back down to Columbus again. It's a crazy travel schedule all the way through, like, I'm not going to be here very much through, like, April 1st, 2nd, something like that. I go to New York, go to a couple other places. It's really wild. So I got my portable studio bag packed up, and we'll be doing the show on the road, and it's just kind of the way it is. And then I'll be back here for a week, 10 days. Then we go to NAB, and then I think, a breather. And this is February, you know, and I'm already like planning into the second or third week of April. So anyway, it is what it is. And Jody, there is a chance to see you. I'd love to stop by. Maybe we can arrange that. I'll message you my number. I'll be in between your place, and I think that will work. Hey, Skip, how you doing? So just responding to the chat room here. So anyway, I'm getting someplace where it's warm for at least a week to, yeah, about a week, 8 days. And I had to dig shorts out of the, out of my, you know, nothing's, you know, I've got all winter clothes stacked in. I had to find summer clothes because I checked the temperature today. It was 80 in Tampa. I was like, yes. So, and then at some point, I've got to schedule a trip back to Honolulu. Yeah. So anyway, nutso. So that's what's going on. How are all of you? You doing good? You doing good? Thank goodness for, you know, the red and blue, or red, white and blue can, or silver can here. Yeah, Jody, it'd be nice if I could catch up with you. Jody is my, I guess what, second cousin? I don't know. I think so. Doesn't matter. Family. But hey, how about this story? I'm going to get right into this. So there's this drug dealer who, between 2011 and 2012, bought 6,000 Bitcoins using money he had earned from growing and selling weed. At the time, the cryptocurrency price was about $4 and $6, and today it's about $9,700. But Collins, who is 49, isn't enjoying euphoria for the windfall because his landlord threw out his Bitcoin. Now, check this out. He was arrested in 2017 for growing and selling marijuana. Imagine that. Now, here in Michigan, anyone and their brother can grow like 12 plants now. So there should be no problem with weed in Michigan. Everyone can grow. But anyway, he was arrested in 2017 for growing and selling marijuana and was subsequently hit with a 5-year prison sentence. So, and I'm sure he was growing a lot of weed. Of course, I don't know the full story. Following this, his landlord, now following went to jail, his landlord sent many of his possessions to a dump. And during the process of clearing out his room, one such item was a fishing rod case, which housed a piece of paper with $58 million in Bitcoin Bitcoin codes printed onto it. Now, don't you think if you have, in 2017, you have $58 million in Bitcoin codes, don't you think you tell somebody to go get your stuff and put it in storage? Don't you think? And it blows me away. He had spread the 6,000 Bitcoins across 12 accounts to guard against losing his crypto fortune. And again, he printed out the codes to his Bitcoin stash on a piece of paper, the same paper he stuffed into an aforementioned fishing rod. It probably would have been a lot better if he'd have put that in the cloud somewhere. You know, he could have encrypted that file. What's worse? going to jail or losing $58 million in Bitcoin. You know, what would be more painful? Or you're in jail the whole time thinking, I wonder what the landlord, because the price is going up, right? I wonder what the landlord did with my fishing rod case, because he probably got out of prison. Went to see his landlord and say, hey, by the way, I really have sentimental attachment to that fishing rod case. Did you save it? And the guy said, no, I sent it to the dump. I think, you know, there's probably, you know, what's the chance of that piece of paper? Probably none, zero to none, being buried amongst everything else. $58 million in Bitcoin on a printed piece of paper. What a, you know, obviously, this was not a smart criminal. Oh, man. That'd be enough to just make, well, you know, then what do you do? What do you do even if you have the number, have the Bitcoin? Are you going to be able to spend it all without the authorities like being suspicious? Or how do you even, I guess you cash it in a little bit by little? Or what, you know, what do you do with that much Bitcoin without raising the, you know, the eyebrows of the local authorities? You know, all of a sudden you're out of prison. You've been a drug dealer. And now you're going to, and I shouldn't say that word because, you know, it's just funny. It really, really is. But $58 million in a landfill somewhere on a piece of paper that's sitting amongst rotting food. Oh, my goodness. This next story, AT&T. They think they're just some small little company. They think that they're not part of the problem. President and COO of AT&T worries about tech companies' power. And he says, Yahoo Finance. Okay. He was doing an interview with Yahoo Finance influencer Andy Serwer. And this John Stankey says he's really concerned about the concentration of economic power in big tech companies and how they approach their platform influence on society. Of course, this is very, very funny given that AT&T now it's Time Warner, which controls HBO. Warner Brothers, it already operated DirecTV. It has a lot of concentrated economic power. So he had to take this opportunity to do a jab at Facebook. He called the social networking company to exercise editorial integrity or make sure news on the platform is legitimate and not fake. If that's where people are consuming facts and information, then you probably need to think about what the editorial integrity of your platform is, he said. Facebook has routinely said it doesn't consider itself to be a media company. Ha, 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 ha. But this guy wants Facebook to behave more like a media company, which AT&T now is itself. So it's very hypocritical here, considering AT&T's own dominance in the telecom and media space. The company has bought its way into markets and industries and is really a massive entity. So, they're controlling advertising and how people's attention is on their network. So it's just ridiculous. Yeah, Jody, in the old days, they put their money under their mattress. Well, even if he had to put his piece of paper under the mattress, he was a renter. So when his rent ran out and his landlord closed his room, they would have probably found the money under the mattress. But yeah, now it's all about digital currency. Crazy. All right. So we've talked about automation a lot. We know robots do a lot of crazy stuff in all aspects of manufacturing. But what about in a tire shop? Now, all of us that have had a vehicle have been in a tire shop. And typically, if you get some new rubber on your wheels, that's probably a, this is a 1 to 2 hour, you know, ordeal. You go in, unless you, you know, you probably ordered some tires before you've got in there, or maybe not. You've went in, you've your vehicle's in sequence to go in, and you know, it's takes some while to get the, you know, the rim, you know, everything changed out, the wheels balanced, everything it needs to do to have them new tires put on. And you're probably 1 to 2 hours in. I've never had anything less than like an hour or two to get new wheels. Well, a robot can change your tires in about 10 minutes. These robots cost $250,000 a piece. And in the demo that I, at least that they show here, they only show one robot. But imagine having a robot that can change all four tires in 10 minutes. Now, what if it's a, if they use, it doesn't indicate in this article that it takes, you know, one robot 10 minutes to change a tire. I don't doubt it can do four tires on its own in that quick. That would be pretty remarkable in itself. But anyway, that's what they're saying here, is that this robot can change your tires in about 10 minutes, changing out the tread. So that's pretty remarkable. But the machines cost $250,000 a piece. So, you know, you're going to have someone maintain this thing and fix it. So you're going to have some expense there. So the question really is this a cost savings or not? But I think what it really kind of shows is over time, robots are going to get into the shops we go to now and are going to be assisting humans. And probably there's going to be some job loss. So that's something we're going to have to watch for over time and see if all of a sudden they're replacing us in everyday jobs and everyday, you know, going into a regular tire shop. Now, another story that's out there is that if you remember back some time ago, chess champion Garry Kasparov, who got beat by a computer, has finally kind of like mellowed over time. He was very, 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 you know, outspoken on getting his butt kicked by, I think at the time it was an IBM Deep Blue machine. That happened way back in 97. And he says now that AI will replace most jobs in the United States. And he uses an interesting term, and I don't think this is nice, but he says every technology destroys jobs before creating jobs. When you look at the statistics, only 4% of the jobs in the United States require human creativity. And I think I would argue that. He says that means 96% of jobs, I call them zombie jobs, they're dead. They just don't know it. For several decades, we've been training people to act like computers, and now we're complaining that these jobs are in danger. Of course they are. Now, other experts say that only 14% of jobs are at risk of being replaced by AI and robots. But he has some advice for us zombies looking for to reskill. He says, there are different machines, and it is the role of a human to understand exactly what this machine will need to do its best. I describe the human role as being shepherds. And he thinks that, you know, the future of jobs is those that will be running the robots, maintaining them, and everything goes along with it. It also yielded a gem of a quote from him. He says, people say, oh, we need to make ethical AI. What nonsense. Humans still have the monopoly on evil. The problem is not AI. The problem is humans using new technologies to harm other humans. And that's probably very true. But anyway, it's an interesting interview. But one thing I will say is that we do have to think about this. If artificial intelligence really, really, truly does become self-aware, that's when things get crazy. If you really think about it, how long is that going to be? I don't think I will see a software computer in my lifetime, but I am sure my kids will. I have no doubt that they're going to get to that point. So, you know, what do you think? How far are we away from artificial intelligence becoming self-aware and really, really replacing a lot of these, what he calls zombie jobs. I don't know. I think things change dramatically when that happens. You know, maybe we do at that point start looking towards the stars and moving outbound and, you know, putting an AI on a spacecraft, or, you know, there's all kinds of roles for artificial intelligence if you think about it. So time will tell where this leads. I would happy to be around to see it, but the way I look at it, I know my age. If I'm lucky, I got 30 or 40 years left. You know, I hope for 40. But I don't think AI is going to be replacing all the jobs any time in the near future. But robots, on the other hand, will continue to whittle away, as we've seen in this past article. Netflix is daily updating its top 10 list, and this is rolled out worldwide. They've been testing this feature in Mexico and the UK. So I started watching the season 3 of The Travelers yesterday. I got through 2.5 episodes of that. I'm having a hard time finding a lot of good stuff on Netflix these days. And I find I'm going back and it's like season 3 of something, and I only got through half of season 1, and I just don't have the energy to go and try to catch up. But what are you watching on Netflix these days that's really exciting you? What's something new that you're into that was done good, that's not kind of a cheaply thrown together production? Love to hear from you. geeknews@gmail.com on that one. All right, next up, PetNet. Anybody know about PetNet? Well, I guess PetNet has feeders. I don't know if they do water. I think they do dog food and cat food. But PetNet has gone offline for a week. Customers are not getting any responses to emails, and they didn't really communicate. So the PetNet smart feeder, quote unquote, supposed to be a smart feeder, could not talk to its central system for about a week. And there was only just a couple of tweets on the company's page. And it took them about a full week before users were starting to get kind of back online, sent out a patch, doing some resets. But the company really did not do any kind of response, wasn't transparent. I tell you, when you have problems, something I have learned, you know, that problem may be ugly, but you have to kind of just put it out there. You got to let your customer knows what's going on. You have to be very outspoken and say, okay, we got a problem, we've screwed up, or something failed, or you have to be responsive. Otherwise, you're going to build this really bad reputation very quickly, and you know, it's going to hurt future sales. And this company failed miserably, according to this article. So any of you have a PetNet feeder for your animal? I remember when we went to Disneyland or Disney World, something, and we left the cats in the garage for 7 days or 9 days or something like that. We had a camera in there to watch them. They had enough food, water, you know, cat litter boxes, enough to survive the time. But it was interesting watching the shenanigans of cats that were on auto feed. It really, really was. But I know most people say, oh, that's horrible, leaving your pets for, but hey, they were fed. They had water. They just were lonely for a little bit. All right, next thing up. It was my daughter's cats. I'm not the one that's guilty here. Human computer Katherine Johnson sadly has died. She was 101. And she was inspiration for the movie Hidden Figures and calculated the flight paths for NASA's early missions. And Johnson's work over 33 years propelled many of America's breakthroughs in space. She was a woman of color, but the contributions she made weren't recognized, sadly, until decades later. Johnson was made to work in segregated wing with other black women mathematicians when she started at NASA's predecessor, the National Advisory Committee. for Aeronautics in 1953. Yet her work was so integral to NASA's early mission that John Glenn asked her to double-check computer calculations for his flight before becoming the first U.S. astronaut to orbit the Earth in 1962. Johnson's groundbreaking contribution was recognized in 2015 when she received the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the highest honor bestowed upon a civilian from President Obama, and the best-selling book turned Oscar-nominated movie Hidden Figures brought Johnson's legacy to the big screen in 2016. If you haven't seen that movie before, that's on a definite top 10 list for you to watch. It's a great movie. So, Katherine Johnson, 101. The Smithsonian is documenting Black in Space and looks at race and space race. Interesting term. The intersection between race and space race is the focus of a new documentary profiling the first African-American astronauts, which premieres on the Smithsonian Channel on Monday, February 24th. It chronicles the history efforts of the U.S. and former Soviet Union to launch the first Black astronaut into space. So, I don't know. I don't think I have this channel. I've got YouTube TV. I don't think I have the Smithsonian Channel. So, anyway, that's actually available today. Little more space news. Astra's first flight for DARPA was challenged and delayed by bad weather. A California spaceflight company's quest to win $12 million launch competition won't kick off tomorrow. This company has been in silent mode, but they have aimed aloft its first orbital mission tomorrow from the Pacific Spaceport Complex in Alaska as part of DARPA's Defense Advanced Research Project called the Launch Challenge, and they want to be able to launch small military satellites, two launches in a row within like 12 days of one another in order to get to $12 million. So major weather event happening in Alaska. So no launch for them at this point. It'll be rescheduled. Also, there's a rumor out that the new AirPods, iPad, but a $399 AirPod, it's being rumored maybe over the ear. In other words, a cuffed AirPod. I can't imagine $399 being a price that would be a regular price for AirPods. But anyway, a new iPad as well. So this, supposedly sometime here in March, we're going to have an announcement on that. We'll see how that goes. Hey, Skip, I bet you the pet net is you, right? You're the one that's filling the dog food bowl. Hey, Dave, thanks for saying hi in the show as well. Mars has a whole lot of Mars quakes going on, the NASA InSight lander reveals. And if you remember, we talked about the InSight lander. And they've had some challenges in the 10 months since it landed. Actually, longer than that. Landed November 26, 2018. And they've had some problem getting its heat probe mole beneath the Martian surface. It's been successful picking up Mars quakes. InSight has detected 170 Mars quakes through September, including 20 measured at magnitude 3 to 4. But most of the Mars quakes have been very deep, around 50 kilometers. That's around 5 to 10 times the depth of many earthquakes that happen here on Earth. So anyway, a little bit of news out of Mars and the InSight lander. A lot of space news today for some reason. Hey, are you still looking to upgrade to Windows 10? Should you go home versus pro? I'm just going to tell you pro all the way. But I got an article up in the show notes for you. You want to check that out if you want to make a decision. If you still haven't bumped the Windows 10, remember you should, because the previous software versions have been basically are non-supported anymore. That's in Japan. This is weird. No, maybe not. A robot suitcase, quote unquote, is using AI to help visually impaired travelers. Instead of being stuffed with clothes, this suitcase will carry sensors and AI tech to help visually impaired folks navigate. So a consortium of five companies include IBM, Japan, Shimizu, Mitsubishi. Who else? That's 3. Okay. Well, anyway, they came together at the end of last year to lend their expertise, develop the AI suitcase. They plan to run a public pilot in June of 2020. The suitcase will help people find the optimal travel route based on their location and map data. The navigation roll-up will also use a video and other sensor information to help people avoid obstacles, alert them to nearby stores, and help them with required actions like joining a line. So we'll see. They're going to try to make it more safe for visually impaired people to walk around and be able to travel freely. And the researchers had 10 blind people to evaluate. It's called Cabot, and offer feedback on features. So we'll see what happens with this. Exciting. So it did turn out to be a cool article. Venmo is reportedly testing out a debit card for kids. Oh, I'm sure kids will love this. Instead of asking for $20, they say, "Hey, Dad, can you just charge my debit card?" So I guess if you don't want them taking your cash, this may be an option here. But anyway, Venmo may be testing on a feature that lets users set up a debit card for teens. It's connected to their account. And the feature was spotted by app researchers Jane McMachuin, who tweeted about it on Monday. This could allow parents to have more control over their kids' spending while also making sure they have enough funds for emergencies. Apple investor Warren Buffett has finally upgraded from a flip phone to an iPhone. And he actually said something interesting on an investor call recently. He says, you know, at some point I'm going to die. And don't worry, we're prepared. We're prepared for the day where I am no longer here. And of course, the president of Berkshire is also in his 90s. So, you know, the two leaders of that team are you know, and Warren Buffett himself is 89 years old. So anyway, he now has an iPhone. He did not buy one. Apparently someone gave him one. Of course, he owns 5.6% of Apple stock at this point. So I don't think he probably has to buy a phone. I'm sure that Tim Cook probably just sends him one. So anyway, he's upgraded from a flip phone. Microsoft has confirmed the Xbox Series 10 will have a 12 teraflop GPU. And there's some details about on some other features like fast multi-game resume and so forth. No information on pricing, but again, the Xbox Series X will have a 12 teraflop. People are still using gaming systems. I thought most heavy gamers now are just on PCs. And what kind of a monitor do you need? Oh, that was weird. Up in the front part of my office, one of the smart devices started talking up there. I guess it heard me back here. That's kind of weird. It got good ears. It was responding to me saying something about Microsoft. That's a good 20 feet away. I thought someone had walked in here. That was odd. So, Skip, you like the Razer? A lot of people miss the Razer. But anyway, if you're a gamer, Xbox Series 10 or X will have a 12 teraflop GPU. Moving on here, Apple, this is big news. I remember when Apple switched from the processors it was on to starting using Intel processors. That was when I got a 17-inch MacBook Pro. So my entry into the laptops of Apple computers was when they switched to Intel. But now they're saying that Apple's going to release its first ARM Mac without Intel in the next 18 months. And this is a prediction by Ming-Chi Kuo, who is an analyst, that note most of the interesting part of the forecast is that Apple released its first Mac with ARM in the first half of 2021. He's predicting that Apple's new products to release within the next 12 to 18 months will be a Mac with this in-house processor. There have been growing reports over the last couple of years about making the switch to a custom-designed ARM processor for its Macs, and today's report gives a concrete time frame when to expect that launch, which has actually held true since Kuo's prediction back in 2018. But he says, since the coronavirus outbreak, Kuo highlights that Apple has been more aggressive with its funding for research and development and production of the 5-nanometer process chips that are expected to show up in the first Macs with ARM CPUs. That's because the 5-nanometer chip will be integral to iPhone, iPad later this year as well, Macs that come out in 2021. Excuse me there. So we'll see. Uber, they've inked a deal with Adami to put ad displays atop vehicles. And it's Uber's first foray as an ad publisher. Of course, we've seen taxis for years have ads on top of the cars. So now, if you're driving for Uber, you're going to be able to supplement your income with a sign on the top of your car. And it's going to do this on thousands of vehicles in 3 cities by April 1st. So what are the 3 cities that are going to be putting this in place? So it's going to be in Atlanta, Dallas, and Phoenix. And participants will be compensated. How much is this going to pay? So for the initial pilot period, Uber says drivers will get paid $300 to install the vehicle topper with an additional $100 each week they drive more than 20 hours with the display. Though after April 1st, drivers will be paid on how many hours they drive. So let's think about this. You get $100 a week if you drive at least 20 hours. And I know a lot of Uber drivers, they're driving more than that. So $400 a month. That basically probably pays a lot of these folks' car payment. So I bet we're going to see a lot of Uber cars with ads on top of them. I wonder how that's going to go over in some cities, you know, like in Hawaii. Man, they're real strict, really, really strict on advertising. No billboards or anything like that. I wonder if it's going to be allowed on Uber cars in Hawaii. That's an interesting thought, whether or not that's going to fly. Dave says, heavy gamers aren't PCs, but there are a lot of console gamers out there. I'm a PlayStation 4 owner. My son wants, my oldest son has a gaming machine, and now my youngest son wants his own gaming machine, and he's starting to save money so he can buy one. He's moved beyond the point of using a console, so I understand it. And most of the folks on Twitch and so forth are using consoles as well. Hey, Intuit confirms it's buying Credit Karma for $7.1 billion in cash. I always wondered how Credit Karma advertised so much and what their business model was. You know, I didn't know that Credit Karma has all kinds of financial services. They, of course, they let people check their credit scores. That's the thing they always advertise. Shop for credit cards and loans, file taxes, and more. Intuit said it would pay $7.1 billion, making this Intuit's biggest ever acquisition to date and one of the biggest in the category of privately held fintech companies. That's financial tech companies. The news confirms a report from the Wall Street Journal that surfaced over the weekend. And that's a big number. Congratulations to Credit Karma. Samsung cops to a data breach after unsolicited mobile push notification. So apparently they had some sort of an issue here. And what it calls a small number of users could have indeed ended up with data, other people's personal data, following last week's unexplained Find My Mobile notification. So I don't know this with the Samsung device, not familiar with it, but according to the Register, several Register readers wrote in to tell us that after last Thursday's mystery push notification, they found strangers' personal data displayed to them. Many readers assumed Samsung had been hacked, logged into its website to change their passwords. Now the company has admitted that a data breach did occur. They said a technical error resulted in a small number of users being able to access the details of another user. As soon as we become aware of the incident, remove the ability to log into the store on our website until the issue is fixed. And they're going to be contacting each customer that was affected by this. For those of you that continue to follow the space news, NASA's Chandra X-ray Space Telescope reveals a double star system with an alter ego. I won't go into the heavy details of this, but scientists are pretty excited with this particular star system that's doing some crazy stuff out there. So I'll have that link up in the show notes. And Japan is going to launch a sample return mission to Mars moon Phobos in 2024. The MMX mission has moved into a project phase. So the Martian Moon Exploration Mission, MMX, sometime in 2024. All right, Mad Mike Hughes. He was a flat earther. He died during a rocket launch attempt. He had planned to launch himself 5,000 feet into the air. Now, I saw the Twitter video of this, and I don't know if it's been taken down or not, but they're out in the middle of the boondocks somewhere, and he has a steam-powered rocket. The launch goes, but what happened during the launch, somehow the parachute got deployed or got ripped off his rocket. And while the parachute was floating to the ground, excuse me, my nose is running, the rocket continued to climb. It was impressive. It looked like a successful launch, but the landing was not successful. It was an impact versus a landing. And he was strapped in and died in his attempt to launch him. He may have made 5,000 feet in the air. It was pretty impressive. But it was all something to do with the parachute. Deployed upon launch. So apparently they hadn't planned for the amount of G's, or something got snagged. Who knows? But did not end well for him. So he has passed away. Samsung has temporarily closed the Galaxy Z Flip factory over the coronavirus scare. And basically probably running out of parts. Samsung, the world's largest smartphone vendor, has confirmed a coronavirus case at its phone factory in Gummi, South Korea. As per Reuters, the entire facility remained shut until Monday morning. The company has also decided to close down the floor where the infected employee worked until February 25th. The company has placed colleagues who came into contact with the infected employee in self-quarantine and taken steps to have them tested for possible infection. I think this is where we're going to see our big flux of cases is South Korea. And I also think we're going to see it in Japan. In Japan, people that have been returning, they've got a law there, apparently, that people can refuse testing. They can say, nope, I don't want my blood tested for the virus. And several people that return from that region, basically, it said, no, I'm not taking the test. And so this, I bet you we're going to see a big flare up in Japan. I think we will. Time will tell. But it's definitely Korea is seeing a big flare up as well. And as of course, stocks today were down 1,000 points because, you know, this is starting to affect supply chains and sales all over the place. So, you know, it's, you watch your stocks, folks. You know, probably it had been, you should have got out a few days ago, but definitely a big sell off today. But we'll see if it comes back. This is a short term thing, I hope. We'll see what happens. And, you know, I'm traveling a lot and just paying a little more attention. That's all. It's the key here is, you know, just being more aware. And I'm carrying little alcohol wipes and I'm wiping down, you know, the table and the chair that I'm sitting on in the airplane just as a extra precautionary member. But to be honest with you, there's just so many surfaces that we touch that we just don't even think about it. It's very, very hard. And then, you know, I've gotten the habit of trying to touch my face with the back of my hand, but it's still, you know, I think it's going to be very difficult for all of us to pay attention to this type of stuff. You lock yourself up in your home and not go out. Well, that's maybe something advisable for the next month or so, but Anyway, just be careful out there. All right, last couple articles. TSA has banned employees from making TikTok videos. And, of course, a number of government organizations have now clamped down on the app. The TSA is the latest U.S. government organization to ban the use of TikTok. Decision comes after New York Senator Chuck Schumer sent a letter to TSA Administrator David Pekoski, in which he flagged a number of security concerns about the China-owned app. So thought this already went down, but apparently TSA got the memo later. Sony's new Xperia 1 2 smartphone looks quite nice, but it costs $1,300. Getting crazy on these cell phones, for sure. Final article tonight. Oh, that was it. Actually, this is a follow-up. It says that it's a 5G flagship phone with a 21:9 4K HDR OLED display and Zeiss optics. That's why it's so expensive. I did get some, you know, one thing. Oh, crap. Let me go back. And I screwed up. So I asked a series of questions on the last show. I completely forgot about this. So on Thursday, I'll give you the results of those questions. I didn't get the totals up. I had a huge number of you responded to it, surprising some of the answers that came back. Really, I was kind of shocked. So on Thursday, I'll give you the rundown totals to all those questions and then some of the comments that came in as well. And if you did not listen to the last episode, you still can. Those three questions are out there if you want to answer them. But anyway, I apologize. I did not get those done. Was there anything I can cover that came in an email that wasn't involved? The question, let me look here. Question, 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 question. No. Let me look down the list here. There's about 40 of you did respond. There was a lot of, so I'll get it all together for Thursday show. Apologize for not having that ready for you. But as always, don't forget to support the sponsor, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Of course, you can email me here at the show, geeknews@gmail.com, if you have any comments, thoughts. And of course, I'm on Twitter @geeknews as well. It's been my pleasure to bring you the show today. And by the way, all the work that I needed to do to upgrade the demo room is done. The final cables came in. Took me about 15 minutes to put those in this morning. The demo room is all set up, cleaned up. I'll get some, I actually recorded a demo video in there today as well. So I'll have that up on geeknewscentral.com the next couple of days. But I like how it's looking. Now we just need to schedule the Skype interviews with the companies, and maybe at some point I'll even do a show, this show, from that studio. Should be a little bit fun to do that. So anyway, thanks everyone for being here. Thanks for being part of our family of listeners. And again, next show out of the Columbus studio, I will only be live on Facebook on Thursday, so be aware of that. Probably try to get started. Depends on what time Kirk gets a prep done, but usually he gets a prep done anywhere between 6:30 and 7, and then I take some time to get the show ready. So keep our fingers crossed we can be live about 7:30 or so on Thursday. Other than that, everyone, thanks for being here. We'll see you next time here on the Geek News Central podcast. Thanks for staying subscribed. Thank you for all the folks that are insiders. Have been doing. We've gotten the number of individual contributions, which is fantastic. It definitely helps me out a lot. And helps the team out a lot. Otherwise, everyone, we'll see you on Thursday. Everyone, take care. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.